When a person switches their attention to check email or social media, it can take 1,395 seconds or 23 minutes to refocus on the initial task. That's according to research conducted by Gloria Mark, Chancellor's Professor of Informatics at the University of California, Irvine. For Dino Ambrosi, it was in his freshman year of college when the effects of technology and social media began disrupting his life. It was in 2020 when Dean pursued an internship with a startup in New York City that he began to change his digital habits. He discovered that it was possible to use social media and his phone in a way that was in the best interest of his time, attention, and well-being. It was likely that other students were also struggling with their screen time. When Dino returned to his college campus, he developed a 12-week course called Info 98 that teaches students how to reduce their screen time. Today, Dino is the founder of Project Reboot, which is on a mission to help students reset their digital habits and show up to their lives more mindfully.
I got my first phone when I was around 17, which was more than a decade ago now. Social media was still emerging, and phone addiction and social media was unheard of. Dino, I want you to think back to when you got your first phone. What was your relationship like to your phone?
I remember my first phone, it was called a Go phone, and it was one of those flip phones. It was not a smartphone. It was really just a tool for communication back then. I used to text and call friends, and I don't even know if it could surf the internet. Then I got an iPhone when I was, I want to say 10, just started middle school. And that was just like a whole new world opened up. And again, with that, I really viewed it as a tool at first. For the most part, it was felt like something that augmented and enhanced my life. And even when Instagram first came onto the App Store, that was awesome too. It was basically like a digital scrapbook that you could share with your friends. I remember actually having a great experience with Instagram and Facebook back when I was in middle school. But those apps, they're just so different than they are now. It's interesting that in the span of, I guess it's been 13 something years at this point, that platform has just changed so much and my relationship with it has gone through such a roller coaster, and it's really interesting to look back on for sure.
It's amazing how these phones have transformed to become more than just a tool for making calls or text messaging. Like it's now like a mini computer.
I think smartphones are amazing, but in moderation for sure.
What is the cost to our lives when we're consuming a lot of this short content?
The most obvious one is time. I just think time is our most valuable resource that we have. And it's pretty shocking to see how much of it, especially teenagers, are spending on social media right now. Like the average 13 to 18 year old in the United States is currently spending, I believe it's 8 hours and 39 minutes per day is the estimate, staring at a screen non-productively. So that's more than just social media. That's Netflix and YouTube and stuff as well. But that is like over half of your waking life. That's like more than a job. And when you factor in sleep and work and time spent driving and doing chores and in the bathroom and things like that, if you look at how that scales up, it ends up being like 90% of your remaining free time. So think about what you have to give up for that. That free time is when you hang out with friends in person and pursue your hobbies and travel and do all that stuff. So that's just not a sustainable amount of screen time, right? If you're going to support other aspects of a healthy life. So time is the biggest one, but it definitely goes way deeper than the mental health side of things is concerning for sure. There are more and more studies that have been coming out that are starting to causally link high social media use with mental health problems. Now, that's not a black and white thing. It depends on the kind of content that you're seeing. It tends to affect girls more than boys, especially with body image issues. But yeah, mental health is really taking a toll in the United States, especially. And social media seems to be a massive part of that decline. And I think it's more than just what kind of content you're seeing. I think most people today have fallen into this habit where they use their phone as a means of escaping discomfort. And I just think that's a very, it's such an easy thing to do, but it's not natural for us to have this escape, this source of instant gratification that's just sitting in our pocket at all times. And I think an inability to cope with discomfort is upstream of a lot of the mental health issues that we're seeing in the US. And then lastly, there's impacts to your cognition, obviously, right? Like your brain gets better at what you do consistently. You're constantly training yourself for something, right? And what are you training by staring at a newsfeed of bite-sized content? You're just training yourself to be distracted. So attention spans are plummeting, and there's a huge link between high screen time and small attention span. And I think that the impact of that is a lot bigger than most people realize, right? Because it's, oh, reading is harder now than it used to be. But being able to maintain your attention and focus is important in so many different areas of life, right? In a profound way, like to be clear on what your values are and what you want out of life and have the agency to follow through on that. You need to be present and attentive. And I think the fact that people are losing that is scary and a lot more damaging than we realize. So that was a lot that I just rattled off. But in short, it's time, mental health, and cognition, the big things that social media is cutting into now.
On mental health and cognition, René Girard, the French philosopher, he suggests that humans want things not because they want it, but because other people want it.
I guess one other area that's impacted is your beliefs and your worldview, right? These platforms and just broadly the way that you consume information has a massive impact on what you believe. And just based on some design decisions that social media platforms have made, I think it's adversely affecting the lens through which we view the world. So the fact that Instagram has a like button, right? For you, it implicitly tells you that your value is largely determined by people's like half a second reaction to whatever you post. So it's mostly, what do you look like and what do you do on vacation? That's the value that you get reinforced from Instagram. And when you're scrolling through that feed and you're looking at these things of, oh, that guy's got a really muscular physique or a fast car, like subconsciously, if that has a ton of likes, you're going to place a higher valence on that, right? Because of that mimetic effect.
Social media, it's radically changed our life. But even with the pandemic, when everyone had to stay indoors, full lockdown measures, more people spent time on phones and on screens. What kind of effect did that have on people?
I think the pandemic was bad for mental health in a lot of ways, obviously. Like we weren't able to go outside and socialize with each other and do the things that we normally do to maintain our happiness and well-being. And a lot of that got replaced by this very artificial version of things that are meant to bring us joy and fulfillment. I think the pandemic really exacerbated the problem. I've heard that consistently from talking to people all over the world. I was just in Nepal on a vacation there and went and talked at a couple of high schools in Kathmandu. And the traders were saying, yeah, phone use, not a problem for us at all pre-pandemic. And then everything changed after COVID. It's not even just a developed world thing. Really, it has impacted people worldwide. I think that was a huge turning point. A lot more distraction in the classroom when they're back. And the interesting thing there is they have a no phones in school policy pretty much nationwide. It's just the standard there. Even without the phones at school, they saw a lot more distractedness and inability to pay attention post-pandemic because of the amount of time people spent online and on social media during COVID.
So it was hard to adapt once the lockdown measures ended.
It's slowly starting to get back to where it was pre-COVID. I think it's huge that they don't have the phones in school. I honestly think that's something that should become the norm in the US and Australia and everywhere else as well, because it's so bad for kids' attention and their ability to learn. Even just having your phone in your pocket makes you measurably less attentive and less intelligent. They've done studies on that. There was a study at UT Austin that measured the impact of where the phone was in your like field of view on your cognition. And they found that even if it's turned off face down, if it's on the desk while you're working, your fluid intelligence goes down, your like working memory goes down. It's a brain drain. Your attention is just subconsciously drawn to it. It still affects you. So you really want to have it like in another room where you're not even aware of it or thinking about it. Because otherwise, whether you realize it or not, it's taking up your brain's resources.
Wow, so even just having your phone can affect intelligence and attention.
Oh, for sure. It's not a fair matchup. Granted, there are things that you could do to regain control. It's not like we're just resigned to being addicted to our phones at all. Like I've seen a lot of people totally change the way that they're using their phones and technology and social media. There's a lot that you can do. I want to make sure, one, I'm avoiding again, social media can be awesome. There's a lot of great aspects of it. The answer is not to get rid of it completely. I don't think that's realistic. I think it's a total overreaction and you're losing a lot of the benefits. And then second, just because there are all these bad aspects of it, don't feel doomed. There's a lot that you can do.
I believe that you also struggled with phones and social media when you were in college. Can you share more about that?
Yeah, for sure. My issue with my phone really didn't start until college. In high school, as I was saying, it augmented my life. It was a tool. But college was just, it was a difficult transition because you lose a lot of structure in your life and the academics are a lot harder. So I went to a relatively easy high school and then I went to engineering school at UC Berkeley in the Bay Area, which is like pretty notoriously rigorous. And it just slapped me in the face. Like I was not ready for that academic transition at all. And I was the only child growing up. And now I'm like living with roommates and like having way too much fun. There's like all this social stuff going on. I am not studying enough the first couple of weeks of college. And like a 20% on my first midterm, which, woo, I'd never failed the test before. So that was such a big wake up call to me. And it really stressed me out and I got some imposter syndrome. I'm like, I am not supposed to be here. I can't keep up with these kids in my classes. I started to get a little anxious and just freaked out about college in general. And in hindsight, that was a great opportunity because you could only grow by getting uncomfortable. I was in a great spot to challenge myself and learn a lot and do well. And know that if I applied myself, I could have overcame that. But I just wasn't able to apply myself and pull myself out of that hole because I developed this habit of turning to my phone to escape that discomfort. And that's just a self-reinforcing, because obviously using your phone to escape your problems is only going to lead to more bigger problems, which you've already conditioned yourself to run away from by turning to your phone. So yeah, it just spiraled me into what can only be called a phone addiction, which I didn't even know that was a thing. That was not in the vernacular back in 2017 when I was a freshman at Berkeley. That was not something I realized could happen to a college student, but that's totally what it was. It really held me back in a lot of ways. I just wasted so much time. So many memories I could have made with people that are now my best friends that I just didn't because I was spending 4 hours a day roughly on YouTube and Instagram laying in bed. What a shame looking back on that. The impact to cognition, that held me back in school as well. It was really difficult to get through a lecture and listen to what the professor was saying for 90 minutes. It had some impacts to like my identity and self-esteem as well, because your actions are the evidence upon which your identity is built. High school, I had been an overachieving student and I spent a lot of time outdoors, considered myself to be this athletic, outgoing person. And after a while in college, I was just objectively no longer those things that I was really proud to be in high school. That was difficult. I didn't like the person that I was becoming in school. That negatively affected my mental health for sure. Went through a rough couple of years in college, and at the root of it was the bad relationship that I'd built up with my phone and my inability to cope with discomfort. It was really damaging, and I honestly didn't see a way out of it for a while because I tried to get my screen time down a lot, and I just kept slipping back into those old habits again and couldn't understand why. I totally blamed myself for it. Felt like it was a result of my personal shortcomings and didn't really make any substantive changes until I got an opportunity to leave school and go do an internship. I moved out to New York back in 2020 and just used that as an opportunity to like really hit the reset button and got off social media for a little while, started going to the gym again, started reading again, started rebuilding some of the good habits that I had lost, and just noticed so many positive changes across all areas of my life, physical health, mental health, career-wise, did really well in the internship, got promoted to a full-time employee, and missed the whole online school thing by continuing to work for them for a year and a half. It was 16 months. The before and after was so night and day, it was crazy. And that was what motivated me to start Project Reboot and go teach the course that I taught at UC Berkeley over the next three semesters to help other students build healthy relationships with their phones as well. That was really the start of the whole story. I think boredom's underrated because boredom is just time alone with your thoughts. And that's like a pretty critical thing, I think. I felt like I was in a lot of ways going through life with a blindfold on because I wasn't taking time to reflect and analyze how things were going. So yes, it cures boredom, but like you should want to cure boredom. You should have some of that in your life for sure.
Yeah, because we need that boredom. We need to be able to reflect on our own thoughts and know what are these goals that I want for myself and be more connected to my future self, know what I really want for myself and how to use my time.
Absolutely. And it's also, that's when you have ideas. When you're not processing information, that's when you have ideas.
When you were doing your internship in New York City, what did you learn about the way that people in tech were using phones and technology that was different to the rest of the population?
I was surrounded by a lot of brilliant people at that internship. I noticed a pattern employees that were really crushing it, the most productive, getting promoted and all that. It was that they had really good systems set up to manage their time and attention, use technology to learn and get better at their job. It really caught my attention to see that because I realized that technology can be a weight vest or a jetpack. It's not inherently good or bad. It's just how you decide to use it and how intentional you are with it. So I've learned a lot from the people around me with regards to setting up a good time management system, having processes for learning and taking notes and organizing that information and stuff. Like that stuff is really important. It's not taught at all. Like you have to figure it out on your own pretty much. Obviously there are courses online and stuff like that you can take, but I think it's an overlooked thing in education because it's just really important to have systems for yourself and like tap into the tools at your fingertips, right? Like, everybody's got access to them. The people that learn how to use them well are going to distance themselves from the people that don't.
So people in tech, they're using it to benefit them rather than or use them. They're using it.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you walk me through how your morning routine has changed, say, from the time that you got college to now?
When I was in college, it was usually like hit the snooze button until I had to get out of bed and run to class or lay in bed and like scroll on Instagram and stuff until I had to get up and go to class. I had a terrible morning routine in college. Now it varies a lot. I test out different things. I'm not a huge morning ritual, it has to be the same thing every day kind of person. I do find that for me, going to the gym first thing in the morning is just a good way to start the day because it makes me not need coffee right off the bat. Like it can go and I feel like it accentuates that natural rise in energy you get at the start of the day. It helps you get what should be one of the most difficult parts of the day, just like totally out of the way. And it gets you off on the right foot, right? Once you make one good decision, it's a lot easier to make additional good decisions. So recently I found like I just wake up, put on clothes and go to the gym. And I get back, make a smoothie and as soon as I can get on my computer and do my first and most important working session of the day, usually something creative and writing driven, because that's like those first couple hours of wakefulness, that's like a really golden resource, right? That's when you're at your peak for the day. So make sure you use it and apply it to the most important thing things. Otherwise, you're wasting a lot of your best time and energy. I try to get most of my important work done before noon because I have an afternoon dip in energy. So I like to get outside and read or journal or do something that doesn't require a lot of creativity or mental energy. And then I can usually squeeze in another working session or two in the evening.
Can you walk me through what your work-life balance is like now with the way that you've improved your own relationship with your phone and social media use and the work that you're doing with Project Reboot?
The way that you leave me, keep me in your headspace. I'm creeping in the night, keeping me in the back lane.
It's taken me a while to accept this, but I just don't really feel like I'm the kind of dude that can log 80 hours of work a week. I know there's a lot of hustle culture in startups, and I am a solo entrepreneur. It's really just me going at this thing. There's an argument for me to be working all the time, especially because so much of my work is creative. You have a finite amount of creative energy that you can tap into. On average, I work during the week about 4 to 5 hours a day-ish. But that work is very productive. I've gotten pretty good at optimizing how I use different parts of my day. The morning is the creative, really important stuff. The afternoon, when I hit that dip, is email, administrative stuff, things that don't require a lot of mental energy. And then in the evening, I work on random projects, but it's just stuff. I'm thinking about building out an automated texting service and a screen time competition platform. Stuff that's more development based, I'll work on that stuff in the evening. So yeah, honestly, I don't work all of that much, but that leaves a lot of time for me to read and learn. I wouldn't count that as in those 5 hours of work, but I try to read every day. I try to spend time out where I'm not connected to anything. And I honestly find that time is really valuable too. That's when I have time to reflect on the business and I come up with new ideas. So in a way, I guess I'm getting 8-9 hours of productive time, but a lot of it doesn't look like work. And it's stuff I enjoy to do. I think that's another important thing with having your own business is you want to make sure you don't burn out. You're going to be able to work for a longer amount of time if you continue to love what you do. So that's something that I take seriously and I want to make sure I don't overdo it and start to hate my working life because I love it right now and I want to keep it that way.
Chris Williamson, who hosts the Modern Wisdom podcast, he says, it's really hard to outcompete someone that's having fun. And it sounds like you're having fun. Can you speak more to about work that you're doing with high school students?
Right now, it's taken a long time, but I basically tried to condense that 16-month transformation that I've gone through into an actionable set of steps but he can follow to reset their relationship with technology. And it's something that doesn't have to take 16 months. You can do it in as short as a week. I've found that the minimum viable amount of time to really make some big change is 1 week. And so Project Reboot is my business where I go into high schools and help them run a guided digital detox with social accountability and incentives for behavior change built in. The three big things that you need to control or change to build and maintain a healthy relationship with technology. And to me, those three things are your mindset, the lens through which you view your phone and social media, your environment, both in terms of your digital environment, your physical environment, and your social environment, and then your habits. I think there are a couple of small things that you can tweak on a daily basis that have a massive outsized impact. The whole program is around arming kids with the knowledge and resources to upgrade those three things. In terms of mindset, you pay for social media in particular with your time, right? These services are not free. They don't charge you a subscription fee, but do not think that free because you're the product that they're selling. And the amount of money that they make off of you is totally a function of how much time they can get you to spend looking at their app, right? So view your use of Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, et cetera, as a transaction. And it's worth making those transactions. Like, they can add value. They can show you interesting content, introduce you to new ideas, introduce you to new people, foster social connections you already have. Like, there's value to be gained. You just want to make sure you're getting a good deal, right? So what I try to get kids to optimize for is an intentional relationship with social media. And that means having a very clear understanding of, first off, like, what is your right amount of screen time? Is it? There's no one answer to this. It's different for everybody. But I try to get everybody to set like a daily time budget. Usually that ends up falling in the range of an hour to 2.5 hours per day of social media and entertainment time. You got to give kids context before they come up with that number, right? Because in general, people say, oh yeah, 5-6 sounds good. You need to show them how that scales over time, right? 5 to 6 hours per day, that scales up to, if you're an 18-year-old, you live to 90, that's going to be like 15 to 18 years of your remaining life. So it's important to like really think about that number hard before you come up with it. And then once you've decided like how much time social media is worth, it's really just a game of maximizing the value that you get out of it while minimizing the time that you invest into it. So think about, you know, what are the most valuable parts of social media? And how can you make it so that the lion's share of the time that you're giving these services is in pursuit of that core value that you've identified? So you should be able to state the purpose of each social media app in one sentence, right? It shouldn't be something that you use for a million different things. It's going to try to get you to engage in as many different kinds of behaviors on it as it can, because it's trying to maximize your engagement with it. But view Instagram as a digital scrapbook and a way of seeing what your friends are up to, right? And that's the core value of it. Go through and purge the accounts that you're following. Get rid of the sports accounts and the highlight videos and stuff. Go get the Bleacher Report. That's an app that just has sports content and highlight videos. You know exactly what you're going to get when you go to Bleacher Report, right? The more accounts that you're following, the more power you give Instagram to drive your behavior, right? So really narrow the scope and get clear on what content do you want to see, and then delete the app from your phone and use it from a browser, because there are no reels in the browser version. If I have the app on my phone, I re-download it when I post. It's inevitable that I get sucked into a rabbit hole of reels. It happens every single time. I cannot have that app on my phone. And I don't think you should either, because you get everything out of it through the web version. It's basically like you're getting it for a 40% discount. If you think about it as something you pay for with your time, you're going to save 40% of your screen time by using it through a browser as opposed to an app. So that's a huge one. And then also, getting kids to understand the importance of your information diet. That's huge, because people forget, like, the internet is all the information that humans have ever recorded and externalized. Like, it's the most incredible tool and resource we've ever created. You can use it to learn anything you want, any skill, any profession. Like, all of that is within bounds for you now. It used to be that the highest quality information was behind the gates of elite institutions that a very select few people had access to. Now everybody's got access to it all the time, right? So leverage that and make sure that you're consuming information that's going to add value to your life. If people say, oh, I learned so much from TikTok. You learn a little bit about a lot of things. You learn a lot about nothing, right? Like, it's, you're swimming on the surface of a bunch of different topics. You're not diving deep on anything and accruing actionable knowledge that's going to benefit your life for the most part, right? So I generally encourage people to opt for longer form content in general, right? And entertainment's not a bad thing. Like, it's fine to spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours even a day entertaining yourself with the internet, but there's a huge difference between watching TV series and movies on Netflix and scrolling through a TikTok feed, right? In terms of what it does to your cognition, when you're watching a TV show, you're focused on one plot line for an extended period of time, right? You're following a story. And studies have actually shown that consistently consuming long-form stories increases your empathy, right? Because you're tracking characters through different social situations. You're seeing things from their perspective with context. You're walking in their shoes. That's a valuable thing to develop yourself as a person. It's not just entertainment, not getting anything out of it. No, there's value there for sure. Upgrade the quality of the information that you're consuming, right? Because it totally affects the thoughts that you have, the worldview that you have. It affects your cognition. It's basically like food nourishes your body, information nourishes your mind, right? And TikTok and Reels and stuff like that is junk. Like, you can consume a little bit of it, but don't be consuming 4 or 5 hours a day. It's not going to be good for you in the long run. So that's the mindset piece. And then the environment piece is taking steps to go beyond the default settings on your devices and on your social media apps, because by default, it's optimized to maximize your engagement, right? But there's a lot that you can do to overcome that and put yourself in a position to control how you're using technology. So I've already said a big one, which is deleting the apps. The developers have a lot less control when they're building a web app than they do when they're building a mobile app. So the experience is a lot more addicting on the mobile app. So get rid of that. There's an amazing app called OneSec. What it does is forces you to take a 10-second pause before proceeding to an app of your choosing. So it could be Instagram, it could be TikTok, it could be Snapchat. And that is incredibly powerful because it forces you to realize, like, why did I go to that app? You'll notice it's almost always because you were avoiding something uncomfortable. And taking the time to take a step back and analyze that is, one, you're making the unconscious conscious, which is the first step to addressing it. And second, it gives you an opportunity to come up with a better coping mechanism. And then lastly, from the perspective of dopamine and how your brain forms habits, it gives you a negative reinforcement every time you try to open that app that you're addicted to, and it changes your brain's perception of how pleasurable that app is. So it's probably the most powerful thing that you can do to decrease the amount of time that you're spending on social media. So my recommendation is to only use social media through a web browser and have a web browser that's dedicated to surfing for enjoyment, and set up the OneSec shortcut to give you that 10-second delay, and then make a different browser your default browser and use that for opening links from texts and doing searching and looking at menus at restaurants and things like that. If you do those two things, delete the social media apps, set up the OneSec shortcut, you will see a massive drop to your screen time, 100%. And then there's other stuff like auditing your notifications. Social media companies love to bombard you with things that just don't demand your attention at all. Protect your attention. Your phone shouldn't be buzzing 300 times a day. And generally, as much as possible, just like separate work from play on devices. Because one of the biggest challenges is we do so much work on our laptops these days, and YouTube is just a click away. So have a dedicated browser for work and a dedicated browser for leisure on your work browser. Block the social media apps. You can get a Chrome extension called Newsfeed Eradicator. And that blocks all news feeds on social media on your computer. It still lets you like go to Facebook groups and search, and you can send messages on Instagram. You can search videos on YouTube, but it has no recommended videos. So that's really powerful because it basically, it flips the power dynamic between you and social media, right? It basically makes it so that you go to a social media website, you query social media for the information you're looking for or the action you're looking to perform, as opposed to if you don't have that extension set up, you go to a website, the first thing that happens is social media queries the data it's collected about you to figure out how it's going to keep you on the app for as long as possible. So that's a really powerful thing to set up. And then the last piece is habits. And I think here you can way overcomplicate things. There are a few simple things that you should change to your daily routine that are going to have a massive impact. First thing is your phone shouldn't be the first thing that you look at in the morning. It just should not. Like, how you start your day matters a lot, right? And if you immediately go to Instagram and you're scrolling in bed, you've started your day off with a bad decision and it tends to cascade. So get an alarm clock. I've got like this crappy little $20 alarm clock that I bought off Amazon, and I charge my phone in a different room. And it makes it so I have a better start to the day every single day, right? That's a huge thing. Second, don't use your phone for the last hour of the day either, right? Like it messes up your sleep. It is probably going to lead you to like going down a rabbit hole while you're in bed and staying up later than you should. Go just charge your phone in a different room. Get it out of your room completely. That's a massive change. Another one, make sure that your phone is not visible while you're trying to work, right? Because that's where a lot of discomfort comes from. So get it away so that you can focus on your work and get it done in time. It doesn't add undue stress. Find an alternative to mindless scrolling. It could be journaling, it could be reading, it could be going outside. Like, there are a million different things that you can do, but come up with a different way to escape discomfort and take a break. That's a huge one. And then lastly, just spend 15, 30 minutes of each day totally unplugged, alone with your thoughts. I love to just go for a walk and not have music or a podcast or anything, and it clears your head and it makes it so that those thoughts escape, and otherwise they get bottled up, right? It's like you have an email inbox of a million unread messages because you haven't processed your thoughts. So take time to do that every day and you'll feel a lot better and your screen time will go down. So those are the five habits that I recommend. And yeah, if you do all that, if you change your mindset, if you change your environment and you change those habits, you're off to a really strong start. And I would be shocked if you didn't see massive improvements to your screen time.
I think even just one of the most momentous things a person can do is even wanting to start to change their habits, just wanting to change it.
100%. First step is the hardest one for sure.
Definitely. So we're coming towards the end of this episode. And so I have a few questions that I ask each of my guests. What does living healthy today mean to you?
To me, it's all about being more intentional, having a clear understanding of what do you value, what do you want long-term out of life, and ensuring that on a daily basis, you're taking steps to get there. So many of our problems stem from the fact that we're wired for instant gratification, but most of the things that we truly want are contingent upon delayed gratification. I think intentionality and being able to make short-term sacrifices for long-term, it is really at the core of being healthy in all areas of life.
Second question, what would you tell your 18-year-old self?
Oh my gosh, so much. I wish I could go back and have a conversation with him. Man, most of the stuff that I tell 18-year-olds nowadays, it's your relationship with your phone matters so much, and just don't use it as a digital pacifier to escape discomfort, because it will decay your resilience, and your resilience is so important. Honestly, I don't think I would go back and change much, because I had to go through that hard experience to get to where I am today. So I think maybe the biggest thing is to not feel so like hopeless when things aren't going well. I think people have a tendency to be overconfident that their current state of things is going to stay the way it is. Like, things are always in flux, good and bad. Like I've gone through phases of being in like super good shape and like running marathons and stuff. I'm going to be this way forever and then I'll get injured and the wheels fall off a little bit and you lose the habit. Just remember in your crazy capacity to change and adapt. Be confident that whatever struggles you're going through, you're not resigned to them at all. You can overcome it. Just have to have a growth mindset about it and build some discipline and become more resilient. And things will get better.
Lastly, do you have any questions to me? This could be about anything. Questions about the podcast, questions about me. You're cool.
What's your best habit?
Oh, my best habit is setting digital boundaries. So setting like the iPad for one thing, computer for one thing.
Awesome.
You can't use an iPad for entertainment. You can only use it for work purposes. Can't use it
like that.
Computer for entertainment, for work purposes. I can only use for work purposes. Can only, and then the TV has to only be used for entertainment purposes. Setting all these defined uses for each of these different tech products.
And that's awesome. That's a huge recommendation that I have. It's great to hear you. What would you do on a Sunday with no obligations and perfect weather? What's your ideal day look like?
Oh, my ideal day. It would be meditating for 2 hours.
Wow. Holy smokes.
I've done it before.
Wow. That's a long time. I've never been able to get past one.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dino. This has been incredible. Really enjoyed this conversation.
Thanks, Jared. It was awesome coming on. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Dino. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm your host, Jared Talvera, and you've been listening to the Healthier Today podcast.